The administration's appeasement of black nationalists was done in the name of welcoming blacks to the Cornell community, and the black nationalists took up arms because they felt that assimilation into the Cornell community, or the white community generally, amounted to a negation of their own community, that is, cultural genocide. The Berkeley Uprising was sparked in large part by the school's expansion into a tiny park that, at the end of the day, was just a place for hippies to hang out and feel comfortable in their own little community. Hippies may call themselves nonconformists, but as anyone who spent time with them understands, they prize conformity above most things. The clothes and hair are ways of fitting in, of expressing shared values. Peace signs may symbolize something very different from the swastika, but both are a kind of insignia, instantly recognizable to friend and foe alike. Regardless, the Berkeley protesters felt that their world, their folk community, was being destroyed by a cold, impersonal institution in the form of the university and, perhaps, modernity itself. "You've pushed us to the end of your civilization here, against the sea in Berkeley," shouted one of the leaders of the People's Park Uprising. "Then you pushed us into a square block area called People's Park." "It was the last thing we had to defend, this square block of sanity amid all your madness. We are now homeless in your civilized world. We have become the great American gypsies, with only our mythology for a culture." This is precisely the sort of diatribe one might have heard from a bohemian Berliner in the 1920s. There is no disputing that Nazism was an evil ideology from the first spark of its inception, but that does not mean that every adherent of Nazism was motivated by evil intent. Germans did not collectively decide to be Hollywood villains for all eternity. For millions of Germans, the Nazis seemed to offer hope for community and meaning and authenticity, too, as Walter LeCour wrote in commentary shortly after the Cornell Uprising. "Most of the basic beliefs and even the outward fashions of the present world youth movements can be traced back to the period in Europe just before and after the First World War. The German Neuschar of 1919 were the original hippies. Long-haired, sandaled, unwashed, they castigated urban civilization, read Hermann Hesse in Indian philosophy, practiced free love, and distributed in their meetings thousands of asters and chrysanthemums. They danced, sang to the music of the guitar, and attended lectures on the revolution of the soul. The modern happening was born in 1910 in Trieste, Parma, Milan, and other Italian cities, where the futurists arranged public meetings to recite their poems, read their manifestos, and exhibit their ultra-modern paintings. No one over 30, they demanded, should in future be active in politics. For the historian of ideas, the back issues of the periodicals of the youth movements, turned yellow with age, make fascinating reading. It is indeed uncanny how, despite all the historical differences, the German movement preempted so many of the issues agitating the American movement of today, as well as literary fashions.